Our first lesson from the Hebrew Bible is on page 656 in your pew Bibles. Is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And I'm glad they start on 4, because I sure don't want to go through all those names. Hear these words. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all who I send you to, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." May the Lord add his blessings on the hearing of this scripture. If you turn to the psalm reading, number 71, be found on page 794 in the hymnal. In you, O Lord, I do take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been an example to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together, saying, "God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no deliverer. O God, be not far from me. My God, make haste to help me."
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. It can be found on page 164 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Some of the most famous words ever put to paper by the Apostle Paul, the gift of love. Hear these words. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let us also tell the story. Let us turn to the story of Jesus that's found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. Another way of telling the story is through images. And if you look on the front of your bulletin, you'll see the very end of this story. Kind of hard to tell because the printing is light, but that tree in the distance is on a cliff. And Jesus is walking through a very angry crowd. It'll make sense. If it doesn't already, it will make more sense when you turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30, found in the New Testament part of your pew Bible on page 57. It picks up actually right where the lesson ended last week. Jesus is in the synagogue on Sabbath day in the synagogue at Nazareth. And he has just accepted the scroll. He has just read a passage from Isaiah. And he says, then he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know what I don't know, but I know that it's a lot. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Listen again and hear me, my friends. And then decide if this is true for you as well. I don't know what I don't know, but I know that it's a lot. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So many times in life and in faith, I believe that we are so assured with what we think we know that we may actually miss the truth and the reality. Case in point. This love passage from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. You know, love is patient, love is kind. Daniel read it so eloquently. Well, chances are pretty good that if you've been to several weddings in your lifetime, you've probably heard this scripture passage quoted. From my own experience, it is surely one of the most requested Bible passages to be included in a wedding ceremony. At face value, it sounds like the kind of sentiment that you might well find on a Hallmark greeting card. Most of us hear it out of context, though, and therefore we believe that Paul is referring to romantic love. In actual fact, Paul was writing to the people in a group of house churches who were quarreling and fighting among themselves about their spiritual gifts. People struggling to figure out what it means to live and work in a community that is trying to follow the life and lessons of Jesus. But these people of the first century were not unlike our faith community in the 21st century. My point is this. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know, and that can make a big difference. What really strikes me about this chapter from 1 Corinthians are the verses we don't usually hear or think about. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Paul is reminding us of a basic human truth. There is maturity in the realization that we don't know everything and that we see and understand only a small part of God's wisdom. Only a small part of God's nature. But I believe that what Paul says will be true, that someday we will get the full story from God, and all our questions, all our unbelief will be answered. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Consider the story from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is speaking to his friends and neighbors in the synagogue in Nazareth. These are the people who watched him grow up. They knew his parents. These good people listened to Jesus as he told them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And they figured that Jesus would do for them what he had done for the folks in Capernaum, but they were wrong. They didn't know what they didn't know. And that was that God's kingdom is first and foremost for the lost, the lonely, the foreigner, and the alien. These people were so sure of what they thought they knew about God that they completely missed Jesus' message of salvation. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. They were prepared to kill Joseph's son, this hometown boy, the Son of God. But clearly, my sisters and brother, God loves us. He knows us better than even we know ourselves. Think again about the experience of Jeremiah. "Now the word of God came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you, I anointed you, I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations.' Then Jeremiah said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm only a boy. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' I don't know what I don't know, but I do know that God knows better than me. God's call and plan for Jeremiah is not so different from God's call and plan for you. Listen again. Perhaps God is speaking these very words to you. Do not say, 'I am only a simple person,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I don't know what I don't know, but I know that it's a lot. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The Hebrew Bible prophet Isaiah clearly understood this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. My sisters and brothers, perhaps it's time that we come to grips with our limited understanding of God. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. I don't know what I don't know, but I know it's a lot. And that's the way it's supposed to be with God. Amen.